Welcome to It's Too Early Podcast, the podcast for the young workforce in Central Illinois who are up early and building something great. I'm your host, Jack Hart, and every Tuesday and Thursday, I sit down with the next generation of workers, leaders, and creators to talk about how they got started, where they're headed, and what keeps them going. These are real stories from young people who are figuring out and forging their path. Because sure, it's too early, but the coffee's on, the mics are hot, and we got stuff to talk about. Let's get started. Hey, welcome in, guys. I'm excited for another wonderful day on It's Too Early Podcast. Thank you all for watching Tuesdays to learn about me as a host. I am back in my chair. I'm back in my main spot, and I've got a special guest today in a different industry. I brought in one of my all-time favorite people, my best friend, a guy who I've known for years that has 20,000 stories on me. He knows everything about me. I know about most things about him. We got some laughs. We've been together for a while. I'm good friends with him. But this is Cade Trotvetter. Cade is a teacher at Auburn. And Cade has been, teaching for 3 years now? Is that right?
We're coming up on 3.
Coming up on 3 years. He also coaches wrestling, which you've been coaching wrestling for
since
longer.
I was in college.
Since you're in college, that's right. So he coached at Jacksonville. We both went to Illinois College together, and we were roommates for my sophomore year, his senior. We were friends before that. So we enjoyed a lot of time over there, and I'm excited to have you on the podcast. So, Cade, welcome.
Appreciate it. Pleasure's all mine.
Of course. So let's start with you, Cade. Start with your journey, education. So you went to Chatham. You're from Chatham. Tell us about how that happened and how you got to where you're at Auburn today.
Gosh, I don't even remember what year I started. I think it might have been 05, 06 school year or 04, 05, one of the two. Originally, my mom worked at Ball. Okay. I originally was supposed to go to Ball because that's where she worked. She was just going to bring me to school every day. But after we moved into our house out where we're not now, but we used to live out in Chatham, she realized all my friends and whatnot were living in the neighborhood, and she didn't want to take me away from that support group. So I ended up going to Chatham and then just kind of flowed through there where I met some of my closest friends, some of which I've kind of fallen out of contact here recently, some of which are still some of my closest friends today. But I grew up through doing all that. But, man, it's very hard when you're put in the spotlight.
Take your time. We're not in a rush out here.
So basically the biggest thing was junior high and high school. That's where I really found myself with the connections with people, with the teachers, with the sports and whatnot. Junior high was where I figured out, okay, wasn't good at baseball, quit baseball.
I cannot imagine you playing baseball. Wait, we do play softball.
We play softball, but I quit baseball because I sucked at baseball. Ran cross country, played soccer, and wrestled.
Yep.
But after junior high was over, couldn't do cross country anymore. So high school was just specifically soccer in the fall, wrestling in the winter. And there is when I found myself becoming who I am. You know, starting to get the key milestones, you know, getting a car, you know, your first homecoming, your first prom, the whole nine yards and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
But overall, the experience I had going through the Glenwood school system, by far the best school experience I have ever had from a school district. Now that could change when, you know, 20, 25 years down the line, I have my own kids and whatnot. That could change.
Of course, of course.
But Glenwood itself, great staff, great admin, helped me become who I am and then into college and whatnot.
Yeah.
Helped me fuel those decisions, talking to coaches, talking to teachers. Even just my mom, she worked in the district. Every question that I had, somebody knew the answer to or pushed me towards the right direction. And I am forever grateful for that experience.
Of course, and it sounds like you had wonderful foundations. Shout out to Shauna Trotvetter, one of my favorite people, always still pushing you and me to excel at anything in life. So you got to Chatham, you played soccer, you were a wrestler. What made your decision to say, okay, I want to go to Illinois College, I want to continue my career at a great, you know, D3 school. I want to go away from wrestling, but still be there coaching in a way. But, like, why soccer? Why that passion? Why the want to continue that to the athletic top athletic level?
Well, originally, I wasn't going to go to IC and play soccer. Originally, I got my application acceptance from Milliken first. Okay. And I was almost dead set of attempting to go wrestle there. Was I good enough to wrestle there? Probably not, because they are a very strong Division III wrestling program. But then, a couple weeks later, I got my acceptance letter from IC, and then, you know, they offered me more scholarship money and whatnot. Yeah. It felt like the more optimal place. I talked to one of my coaches, who still to this day loved to death, Tommy Johnson. I talked to him about IC, what it was like and whatnot, and then he was like, do it. You're going to love it. You're going to fall in love with it. Wow, I just said that twice. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to fall in love with it. It will change your life. And it did. But then I started thinking, well, okay. No, I'm not wrestling. I had communication with the new head coach at IC, Evan Philpott. We got talking, communicating, whatnot. Did my official visit, whatnot. Had a conversation with him, and I went and signed to play college soccer there.
Cool.
Thought I had more. I didn't.
No, you're good. Yeah. So you play college soccer there. That's how we met. I remember first day I came in there. I'm 2 years younger than Cade, and I walked in, and I needed someone to run with me because, I don't know, I didn't know anyone. So me and Cade, we both did the whatever the fitness test was.
It was the 120s.
Yes, the 120s, which really, honestly, for college soccer was not too bad.
Wasn't horrible.
I mean, I couldn't do it today. There's no way I could, like, try that and do that again.
No, we are not in soccer shape anymore.
No, no way. I tried to run last night, made it about a mile, and I'm training for a half marathon here, so we got a long way to go.
And the thing that happened with this is we weren't in the super fast group, and we weren't in the super slow group, so we were, like, right in the middle.
Yes, we were.
So we had to do a 120 in, what was it, like, 18 seconds?
Yeah, something like that.
You had to go down to half and back, and you had to do it in 18. And we just so happened to be running right next to each other, and we pushed each other. And that's how our friendship came to be.
Yeah, we didn't. I mean, and I knew Cade. I played against Cade on my freshman year, sophomore year on varsity because I went to Rochester, which is obviously a competing school.
PK shootout, baby.
Yep. but we're going to ignore that. But, you know, so I had my, you know, we had our differences. Stuff happened, whatever. But, yeah, so now we're best friends just because of soccer, and it's crazy how those connections work. So, Cade, with that, you know, going to Illinois College, it's a wonderful school, wonderful education. You were looking at teaching. Why teaching? Why becoming a history teacher now? What was that? What did that look like of making that decision when you got to Illinois College?
So, first of all, like we all were, it wasn't my first intention to be a teacher. Really, I wanted to be, you know, a professional athlete. Wasn't going to happen.
Didn't we all?
And then junior high, very early high school, you know, I kind of wanted to follow my dad's footsteps into being a state trooper.
Yep.
But that all changed in my freshman year history class. The teacher I had, I won't name his name, but he knows who he is. Love him to death. He taught history so well. And surprisingly, I wasn't a big history nerd then. I was a big science nerd.
That surprises me. That really does.
I was a big science nerd. Junior high, elementary school, big science nerd. But the way this teacher taught history made me fall in love with him. And it wasn't just the way he taught history. It's just the way he could connect his own experiences into the experiences that we had learned into our everyday lives. But it's also not just that. It's just communicating with us as people, you know,
yeah.
Me being the student I was, I'd be the first to show up, last to leave. He'd always, you know, talk to me, how's your day going, how's this, that, and the other, and so on. And that's kind of where it sparked the interest. It's like, I want to do that. And then so throughout the rest of freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year, I fell in love with history, started to, you know, ask my mom questions about, okay, what's going on here, what do I need to do to go into the teaching route and whatnot. And then Tommy Johnson, he actually did his teaching through Illinois College. So he was my soccer coach.
Yep.
So I communicated with him. And he gave me the whole rundown about how it works, whatnot, how it would be perfect for you, which is also why it kind of drove me to go towards IC over Millikan. And then I do all that. I get to IC, and the first week of school, it's my first education class. The very first thing the professor says when I walk in is, okay, you guys this semester are going to go into a classroom. You're going to observe. You're just going to watch. And I was like, oh, God. I was terrified because I had never been in a classroom setting where I am the professional here.
Oh, yeah.
So I do that, fell in love with it, which I will forever hold IC accountable for because they knew to do or to put students into classrooms from the get-go. So you're not going through the whole education system and then you get to your junior, senior year and you hate it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Not to sit there and, you know, waste time and said, I mean, you go to like a school, like a big school, like in Illinois, Illinois State, whatever. You won't get in a classroom until my sister's at SAUE. She still hasn't gotten to a classroom until she's now a junior.
Yeah.
So throwing you in there first time, it's genius.
Yes. And then I just kind of went through the whole, you know, I went through the COVID phase, which sucked because I wasn't able to go to a classroom. And then junior year, it's when I kind of was like, okay, I got to start figuring out what kind of grade level I wanted to teach. And originally, I was dead set, full-on dead set of doing high school.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I thought, you know, they're high schoolers, they're more mature and whatnot. I did my observations junior year in high school in Jacksonville. And then senior year, I got told for my placement that I was going to be in a 7th grade classroom. And I was like, what? It's not what I put down. I wanted to be in high school. But the coordinator was like, well, it is what it is. Just make the best of it. And it turned out to be one of the best decisions my coordinator had ever made.
There you go.
Because I started my observations in the fall. I was like, okay, it's not horrible. The drive sucks, but it's not too bad. And then when I got to student teaching in the spring, well, I guess winter, second semester, my cooperating teacher, by the end of the first week, started to filter me in to the point by the end of the first month I was teaching full time. And just being able to use my own experiences and my knowledge of history, which at that point, seventh grade would have been findings of America to right before Civil War, using all my knowledge to pass it on to the next generation. And the way my cooperating teacher, his style kind of cemented onto me and to teach in the way of a story. So whether that is, you know, talking about the Civil War or whatnot, you always find a way to make it exciting.
Yeah.
It's like how you read a novel, the book kind of jumps out at you, picks you off at the right moments. You're like, oh, and whatnot. I took that.
Nice.
Into what I do now.
There you go.
And it works perfectly.
Yeah. You are a really good storyteller. I mean, every story that you'll go tell people, I mean, if it's about me, it's about you in the past, no matter what. I was excited and got the honor to sit there and watch you do your student teaching. I mean, this guy worked hard because he'd come home at night, and first thing we do is get food, and he's exhausted.
Oh, it sucked. I had to be up at 6:30 in the morning. Hey, you can remember, I'm in college. I'm going to bed at midnight, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
I get up at 6:30 in the morning, had to be out the door by 6:50 to be at school by 7:45, 8 o'clock. And then I'd have to drive that hour back to school, not get home till 4:30, and let alone there would be days where I have wrestling practice on top of that. So then by the time all that's done, it's 5:30, we're at dinner, I'm barely keeping my eyes open, go home, shower, pass out by 8 o'clock sometimes, some nights.
And then he had to deal with me and Fink and Steve being extremely loud until 1 or 2 o'clock at night because we were younger in college.
Those nights sucked.
Kept him entertained, let me tell you. I had some times. He'd deal with it, though. It made us closer. It's fine.
Yeah.
It worked out. So going on with being a history teacher now, you got wonderful students. You work at Auburn. Tell me really about, you know, the impact that the kids in Central Illinois have, the generation that's now coming in, you know, the younger generation. What do you like about them? What's something you enjoy? What's the most passionate thing about that generation of kids that you get to teach every day?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think a lot of it has to deal with, you know, they're very tech-oriented.
Of course, yeah.
So I have to find a way. Well, first of all, I like my teaching style to be, I like old school.
Yeah.
My principal loves her to death. She loves that I teach old school. So I do pen and paper and whatnot. But also I have to find ways to incorporate technology into my lessons and whatnot. So we use Chromebooks. But the big thing about this generation of student is they are very critical of themselves. So if they don't get a good grade, they beat themselves up. So you have to build their character up. You have to build their knowledge up. But also, they're very passionate about the work they do. So whether that is just a simple open note quiz, they put their heart into it. If it's a short essay, they put their soul into it, or whatever it is. They're very passionate, and they care about the work they do. Now, obviously, there's some...
Of course.
Like always, there's going to be some outlooks and whatnot. But it's just their passion for what they do. And, you know, being there 180 days a year, they might as well put in good work. Because I know it kind of really doesn't translate from junior high to high school. But if they find good rhythm in junior high, which most students do, they tend to succeed in high school. So that is the biggest thing about this generation, is that they're passionate.
Yeah, of course.
And also, they're a very, well, where I'm at, it's a smaller school district. The entire class is like one tight-knit family.
Yeah.
So if one person is struggling, they will all find a way to bring that person up, and so on. And that's what makes, I mean, I don't want to say it makes it successful, but that's what makes this generation so much different than before.
Yeah, no, of course. And I went to Rochester. We had a small group, and I knew everyone and friends with everyone. We all support each other. And I don't, you know, I hopefully it was the same thing at Chatham.
Couldn't say the same.
It's different because you guys had twice the kids. So, yeah. Like, I knew everyone. You know, everyone saw each other. We all worked together. It was, I guess maybe it's a small school thing. Like, that's interesting to think the difference there. And because Auburn's closer to Rochester size.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really cool, though, to have that. So 5 years ago, as COVID happened, do you think it had an effect on that generation of kids? And, like, in what ways would you think it really made it harder or, you know, even easier in a way?
Definitely made it a lot more difficult because, well, all those COVID kids now are coming through the junior high, at least from, like, when they were second, third grade.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to get some of those COVID kids. And the biggest thing that I have noticed is they tend to procrastinate to high water.
That does not surprise me one bit.
I've been there before because yeah. I did that in college. Who didn't?
I did in high school. Same thing.
It's just the procrastination and then, you know, oh, doesn't matter. It's junior high. Who gives a crap? But think that is the biggest pet peeve I had with the COVID generation, the COVID era student, is their procrastination and whatever I said before. I can't even remember what I said before.
Yeah, no, the procrastination and then they're, you know, I can't think it's hot. All right, yeah.
But it's one of those things.
Yeah, no.
One of those days.
It's one of those days. It's okay. But yeah, no, definitely with procrastination and then, like, you know, trying to put in the effort or say, or care about it, you know, care about what you're doing, your work. That's where you're at. It was about
yes.
Those.
Thank you. I have a good group of students there now who care about their work and whatnot, but I know from other teachers throughout the entire state, I've read on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, a lot of students that are going into high school and junior high now that were, you know, middle school,
yeah,
grade school during COVID, a lot of those same problems that they had during COVID have transitioned into their, I guess, now higher education.
Of course. Does the social skills, is that tough for them? Or you really don't see too much a difference?
It really probably just depends on the school district. In Auburn, yeah, it really doesn't because it's a small school district.
Closely knit.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
I think the bigger districts it probably could be. It also just depends on the kind of person you are.
That too. There's very, you know, if you're me, you're going to be talking all the time.
Yeah. And then there's me, who talks less.
Talks less. I mean, it's not hard to do, but, you know, here we are. All right, well, this is about halfway point in the podcast, and this is what I call the Think Fast segment.
Oh, God.
You're good. I'm excited for this one.
Oh, you're good.
It is sponsored by Pristine Pastries once again. So I'm going to give you three questions. Today the theme is history, Cade.
Oh, God.
So I was like, okay, what kind of history questions? These aren't too hard. I feel like you get all three of these. One can be changed now, actually, because of modern history, fun fact. So here we go. You ready?
Oh, God.
Okay, first question. What 14th century conflict lasted over a century and was primarily fought between England and France?
Oh, God. I want to say it was the Hundred Years' War, but it was like 108 years.
It was the Hundred Years' War. That's correct. Yeah. I look at that. He's already one for one. Anthony didn't get that. Me and Mr. Producer over here did this earlier.
I also am not that – I'm not big on European history, so.
I know. I'm switching it around. Don't worry. This one you'll probably get. Who was the only president to serve two non-consecutive terms?
Well,
besides
Donald Trump, it was Grover Cleveland.
Yeah. I was telling Anthony, I'm like, well, this can be changed now.
Yeah.
So.
Before Donald Trump, it was Grover Cleveland.
There you go. Boom. Two for two. Now we get to the hard one. All right. You actually probably will know this. It's about the American Revolution.
Okay. It's been a while, so.
So. Okay, during the American Revolution, which battle is considered the turning point that convinced France to formally ally with the American colonists? Ooh. I know you can get this. When did France decide to join the war?
So they decided to join the war, I believe, in 1780 or 1781.
I don't have the year. I'm going to guess that's right.
I think. I could be completely wrong. No, because that was Civil War.
Question of the battle.
Ooh. Oh, come on, brain. I don't think. Is it? No. I want to say Second Battle of Bull Run, but that's Civil War.
Nope.
It's been a while since I've cleaned up on my American Revolutionary
That's why I made it tricky
war
on you.
History.
I wasn't doing any Civil War stuff. You knew that. Answers all that.
You weren't going to do anything that I was strong in.
No.
You're going to have to tell me.
Battle of Saratoga.
Ah, Saratoga.
Would you have guessed that or no?
Probably not.
It's okay. Anthony over here, Mr. Producer, he told me Gettysburg.
That's Civil War.
I was really embarrassed, guys.
That was a guess.
From a guy who does the Civil War all the time, every year, it's pretty embarrassing. It's like, okay, fine. I've seen Kate's presentations. He knows what he's talking about, trust me. He's walked me through a lesson before. Very good teacher, by the way.
Not in the American Revolutionary era. At this point.
Yes. Not in that. But we're going to get there eventually. Maybe if you switch grades.
Yeah, maybe. If you give me like a week, I'd probably know most of the stuff again.
You just go watch like Hamilton or something. You'd be set.
I'm good.
I'm good too. Done that before. A lot of people like it. It's okay. All right. We're going to continue the podcast here. So why Cade over here gets a drink. He's doing so much talking. It's like, man, Jack makes me talk a lot.
No kid.
Always has. All right. So you spent part of your life. You spent all of your life in this area. What has shaped your personality, who you come? Why Central Illinois? Why stay here? I know you have brothers all across the nation now. Why stay here? Is there a reason for that?
It's just home.
Of course.
It's home. All my friends are here. I have family here. Everything that I do and enjoy is here. Don't get me wrong. I would love to go elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I don't, because I love being here. I love being part of this community. I love just being able to talk about the city of Springfield, the city of Chatham, Rochester, the surrounding areas, and just how well this place actually is compared to everywhere else in the United States. Now, I've read this earlier. Would I consider leaving at the time, at this time, at this very moment in time?
This dude just beat me to my question.
Gotcha. At this very moment in time, probably not.
Yeah.
But the way life works,
you never
who knows?
Know. You never know.
Yeah. But I don't see myself leaving for at least the next decade or so.
Let's go. That means I'm going to keep you entertained for a decade now. So his short answer was, Jack's in Central Illinois, so I'm going to stay here.
It's not that.
He gets a new neighbor soon.
Oh, God.
He's going to live just a couple feet from you.
But I think the biggest thing is this Central Illinois. We all care about each other. You know, we saw the tragedy that happened a month ago. The surrounding areas came together to support a community, and I think that's what makes small towns like Central Illinois, even though it's not a small town, it's one of the biggest, Springfield.
Yeah.
But it just makes us very close-knit, even though we could be vastly different in our ideas and our affiliations and whatnot. The biggest goal is coming together to support one another and lift them up from whatever it may be.
No, I totally agree. Totally agree. And I think, like, you say small town. Springfield, Chatham, Rochester is kind of just a small community because we're 3 hours from Chicago. You're an hour and a half from St. Louis. You're just out there. We're all out there, but we're here together. And I think that community base, I mean, supporting you teachers, supporting Chatham, supporting Rochester, something happened, we're all there. Even though we hate each other in sports, you're still going to be there supporting.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, that's awesome. So, I mean, you had to beat me to my own question, but whatever. So, to continue that with, you know, that community base, you're having an impact on the community. So, you're impacting the next generation of kids, if that be coaching, if that be teaching. What's the number one thing that you really want to get across to the kids that you're being a coach or a mentor for that they can carry on to future generations in the future?
I think the biggest thing that I like to push on students or athletes or whatnot is just to be the best version of yourself that you can be, whether that is through academics, through sports, or through whatever else it may be. Be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. And then don't let people dictate your own story. You write your own story. I took that from that's a quote that
I love
my
that.
High school wrestling coach said my entire senior year. Write your own story.
Yeah.
And that is what I love to push on to my students and to my athletes. I could care less if you win the state tournament or you lose in this duel. I could care less about that. How can you, where you are now, how can you improve yourself to where you can be the best version of yourself? And I love to have those conversations with students and wrestlers and whatnot, whether it's sitting in a tournament for 8, 9, 10 hours, having these conversations. I love to push that stuff. Because then you really see their eyes open and they start to think and they're like, oh, I like that. And then they start, I've seen a few do this. They start to actually improve themselves.
Yeah.
Become better versions of themselves. And that's the biggest thing that I know as a coach and as a teacher that I love to push. And I've talked to many other teachers, many other coaches. They push that exact same agenda as well. It's to be the best version of yourself.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, being the best version of ourselves, and you've had athletes that have gone through Jacksonville, and you've had for a while now. Your dad's a good example. A lot of his former Coleys come back and still friends and still say, you had an impact on my life. Do you have any, like, students that now are older that say, Mr. Trotvetter, you were one of the most influential people? I know you can brag a little bit about yourself, I swear. I'm just curious. Like, do you have those start to come back and say they're thankful for that advice?
Yeah. I've had one from student teaching. I've had one from when I coached in Jacksonville. And I've had a couple already from being in Auburn for 2 years. So during student teaching, I was out way past Jacksonville and Beardstown. We wrestle Beardstown every year. So we went back, would it have been back in December of this year? The students that I had in student teaching, they're now in high school. When I walked through those doors, there were some students getting done with basketball or getting done with wrestling practice and whatnot because they were high schoolers.
Yeah.
A couple of students came up and gave me a hug. It was like, oh, my gosh, Mr. Trotvetter, how you doing? And blah, 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 blah. You were one of my favorite teachers and so on. And then I went and watched a Glenwood, Jacksonville, Rochester, U-High wrestling high school duel. And one of my wrestlers that I had, he's now going to be a senior, saw me there. A couple of my other wrestlers saw me there, came up and gave me a big hug and asked how I was doing and how much they missed having me around in Jacksonville. And then just this past year in Auburn, I got, for Teacher Appreciation Week, I had some of my former eighth grade students who are now in high school write letters to me, you know, asking how I was doing and, you know, complimenting me for teaching them the things that they know now and so on. But just being able to see the impact that I've had on multiple different schools, multiple different people really makes me proud of myself.
Yeah.
but also truly shows how much of an impact I am having in what I do.
It shows it's all worth it. It shows that you're not doing it for yourself, which it's exciting. It makes you feel good, but you're doing it for others. And I love that selflessness. I love selfless. That's one of my favorite words.
And one of the biggest things that I love in the teaching aspect is getting cards and whatnot at the end of the year. You know, I got 3 separate cards from the same 2 people, one of which they wrote, thank you cards and whatnot, shared their experiences. And then they got me a quote book from all the random quotes that I had said throughout the year.
I love it.
It's only like a page and a half long.
I want to read this book.
It's not a book. It's like a folded
piece. I still would like to see what you said.
You can come over sometime and you can read it.
I'm going to. I'm going to ask next time I come over.
But seeing that, how much it made me laugh and whatnot, it really showed how much I meant to these students and how I impacted their learning and how much, I guess really, how much I have helped them. And getting something like that really, I hate to say it, I teared up a little bit because it made me realize how much of an impact I've had.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And that's just always, and I hope that's always the way, and it's going to make you feel good for saying, okay, I'm glad I was a teacher. You know, even though teachers sometimes, they're not billionaires or whatever, but they're doing it for the kids. And we need people to make sure our next generation are becoming the best that we can to make sure they support us in the future when we get old.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're going to be like 25 here soon.
Don't say that.
That's like halfway.
I didn't need to hear that.
It's like halfway to 50, guys. All right, to continue here. So I want to go with something, something between you and me. So tell, you got any funny stories? People like to know. They know the host now. What's one PG funny story you got of your host over here?
PG. Oh, God.
Well, it doesn't be too PG, but, you can make it in that way.
I think the funniest, still to this day, I will never let you live it down, is, can I say it?
It's a podcast. You're good.
House to House.
Okay. Continue it.
House to House. It was a long day. It's us being college students. We go and see our buddy Zach at the dorm room. And you are exhausted.
I was tired. It was a long day.
And we're talking with Zach for like an hour. The next thing I know, I turn to my left, and I just see you.
Dead?
Passed out on the floor next to me. I was like, oh, come on. It's like only 2 o'clock.
Hey, we've been up since like 8 a.m. that day. I needed my nap. I didn't get my nap in yet.
I still have the picture to this day, and I will forever treasure that. Or it was when it was that first week we moved in to Green.
Yeah.
And, it's in between the 6 a.m. morning run and whatnot, and in between the 5 o'clock actual practice. We set up a Wii.
Oh, yeah.
We set up a Wii because we had no internet at this point because our internet was out. And we were ticked off.
It was
a while. It took us like, almost a month to get internet?
Yeah, it was way too long.
It was horrible. But we set up a Wii and we decided, screw it, let's play Wii bowling. It was like your third time attempting going for a perfect game. And it was the 10th bowl, or I guess 12th bowl. You bowl it, you get the perfect, and you just go absolutely ballistic. You're running up and down in between the two rooms. You're jumping on your bed. You're doing this, that, and the other. And I remember Steber, Fink, and I just all dying of laughter. But it's moments like that that bring smiles back to my face.
Oh, that was probably my favorite year of college. That was my number one year. And that Wii, I did it again. Remember, I got 300 twice.
I don't remember the second time.
The best, I think, in the Wii is when we're playing golf, and you and me sat there. So there's this par 3 on the Wii golf. You probably played it before if you've been on the Wii golf. And me and Kate are like, okay, we got to get a hole-in-one. So we sat there for, I think it was 4 hours.
We started it at, 9.
Yeah.
And it was 9 o'clock. And put this in perspective, I had student teaching the next day.
Yeah, we just kept going at it. I mean, we took millions of shots. The funny thing is, we go, and Cade gets this hole in one, and I'm pissed. I'm so mad. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
I was like, thank God I can go to bed.
And I was like, beat me to it. Next thing, I take the remote and I go, I hit the exact same hole in one, and we both got it at the same time. We started dying. We were dying.
At that point, we were both a little delirious because we were so tired of swinging this Wii remote for 4 hours.
Oh my gosh. But it is doable. If you guys don't know, it's doable to get a hole in one on that par three.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those college memories, there's a lot of yelling at the TV and
especially you watching Bears games or us watching soccer.
Oh, remember the one Bears game that I got really mad at? Yep. I don't know if you saw today. I put 10 more weeks until this dictates my mental health.
It's going to be me when it comes to Prem soccer time.
Yeah, well, you know, Manchester City, I don't know.
Woo!
Yeah, whatever. Whatever, Mr. Chelsea. Well, Cade, so we keep going on. We've had fun. I've known you for years. You've had a good – once again, you've had an impact on your kids, but you also had an impact on me, helping me get to my best self as being my best friend for several years now. So what for our generation, you know, people our age that are hopping in the workforce, you know, just got to college like myself, you know, trying things out in different areas, what would be your one piece of advice for everyone?
Put your mind to it. If you put your mind to it, you put in the effort, whatever you set your eyes on, you can achieve.
Yeah.
That's how I did it with teaching. It's how you're doing it with your podcasting. It's how that's how everybody is getting to where they are, is because they put their mind to it and they put in the work, and the payoff is way higher than the work you put in.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why nowadays our generation, the students that are getting into their professions and whatnot, take their job so seriously because they put in the work and they're dedicated.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us, I don't want to say superior, but we're getting better.
We have a very good generation. Other generations have wonderful people, but all of our friends, I said this in my podcast that came out this morning. We're filming this, but it came out Tuesday, is, you know, you, me, Chase, Zach, everyone, our friends, we're all going at it, putting that effort in, but we're going at different angles. But we're putting in that same effort, and that's what I love to be around. So that, I 100% agree with that advice there. So,
and if we run into problems, you reach out to people, you ask for advice, or you just talk to them.
Oh,
get your mind off whatever problem it may be. You just talk to people. I think that's another thing that makes our generation so great, is we talk to people. We ask questions. We ask it for advice. Doing stuff like that will put you in the right mindset to get on the right path, to do the work, to get the payoff at the end.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's my number one support system right there. Him, my other four best friends, people around there, my softball team. Softball's fun, isn't it?
Well, not after this past weekend.
Yeah, what did you do in softball this weekend, Kay?
Tried stretching a single into a double, which I did, but slid into second, not wearing a glove in my right hand. It completely tore open my right hand. So.
Okay, it happens. Who's hitting the best this season on the team, though?
You've played 3 games.
No, I played 4.
You missed out on the past, like, month.
I missed out on 1 game.
You missed out on 2 games in the beginning of the season.
And then I missed out on 1.
Nope.
Oh, I missed out on, I guess I missed out on, like, 4. I saw the best batting average, so I'll take it.
You don't.
All right, whatever. I didn't drop the ball, at least. We'll take that.
Finally.
I know. It works out. Well, thank you guys for filling in. Cade, wonderful to have you on this wonderful podcast that will be going out the day before 4th of July. Everyone, have a great weekend. Celebrate 4th of July. Go out. We're going to be on the boat. I know Cade's excited. I'm excited.
Excited to relax. Get some more sun.
We need to not get as burnt as we did, though.
Yeah.
Mine's worn off, but yeah. But happy America. We're excited to be blessed in this country where I can sit here and talk to a wonderful guy who's teaching the next generation. So thank you all for coming today. Make sure to follow us on all of our social medias again. That would be Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, you name it. We're putting out reels. Cade's looking good in the next reels that we're gonna be putting out. Don't worry. And also make sure to check Spotify, Apple, share with your friends, look on our YouTube, you name it. We're out there. If you're a business or someone looking to a podcast just like this, reach out to me at 217-801-2909. Once again, 217-801-2909 or heartmgdigital@gmail.com. Okay, thanks again. We're excited for what we got keep coming here with the podcast. I'm excited for your teaching here this fall, your coaching, you're going to do wonderful things in life, and I'm excited to sit there and be your number one cheerleader.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks, Cade.